Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
It has a little bit to do with that. That's part of it. That's only one factor, though. One of myriad variables.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Bada bing. Bada bing. And bada bing, bada boom. Hey, it's 42 seconds after the hour of noon, and this is the month of May, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a party listening day, my friends. Neighbors, Romans, countrymen, boys, girls, assembled thugs, thieves, pimps, hoes, barflies. It is the Rick Emerson Show live. From the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, proud part of the CBS Radio family. Thank you for coming along today. We appreciate it. It's Wednesday. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. And I have one word for you, and that word today is Armenia. But three other words. Never hire Armenians.
Christopher McConney will appreciate hearing that.
She's not really Armenian.
Yes, she is.
She listens to Van Halen and she does the splits.
That's a very Armenian thing to do.
Think they could do the splits in Armenia?
I think so.
I like it. Think anybody over there has a ball?
In their native dress, of course.
wearing skirts made out of human bones or whatever it is they wear over there. I'm just saying. At some point over the last week, my default outgoing email address here stopped because it used to be just at cbs.com, and they decided to be all slick. They decided to be all fancy schmancy and all dazzly and whatnot. And so my default outgoing email address became 970.am because that's where the website is hosted. It's in our new website. It's no longer Johnson 970. It is 970.am. And we thought we were being all ahead of the curve. Thought we were going to capture the assembled eyeballs and thoughts of a million people out there by using an interesting domain suffix. .am. What we didn't know is apparently the work ethic in Armenia is not all that it could be. So I get approximately one of every five emails sent to me now. The rest just vanish into a black ether hole somewhere out there in the great beyond, the great unknown. Never to be delivered. Never to arrive. Missing important communiques by the thousands every day, undoubtedly.
They got to sweeten the deal for their Armenians. Offer them a mountain goat.
I have here three child brides. And a guava. It's 503-733. Aren't they the ones where their national sport is kicking around a yak head or something?
I believe that might be true, yes.
Bunch of savages. All right. Today we blame the Armenians for everything. I don't care what it is. For the rest of the day, anything that goes wrong, fall to the Armenians. They'll get theirs. It's 503-733-2970. 503, and the people in Zurich. I don't like that. I've had it up to here with the Swiss. It's 503-733-2970. You want to email, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Don't send anything to 970.am. Never going to get through. You might as well send it via Pony Express. You might as well send it to me on clay tablets carried on the back of a camel. It is rick@rickemerson.com. Our best intentions notwithstanding. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. Coming up today, we have the most unsurprising and pointless Britney Spears news ever. Religious nutcase watch. Speaking of nutcases, we're going to talk to... Now, we don't live in this state. Well, we live in this state. But we don't live... You know what I mean? We don't live in Atlanta. Atlanta's not... I know. I'm aware. I'm just going to segue into the fact that it's in Georgia. I am aware of that. Sons of bitches. The point is, we're going to talk to Ed McCarthy about these... Here's the thing you've been seeing on the news, these Minutemen guys.
Look, well, they're in Arizona. I'm not in Atlanta.
No, they... Okay, Mr. News Director. Sherrod, you are. Listen to this. The Minuteman caravan stopped out, apparently for a quick bite, stopped outside the Capitol in... Atlanta last night.
Now, where do they get the gas to travel that far?
I don't
think they're real ones.
I don't know. Selling all their turquoise jewelry. All right, well, in any event. Apparently, they were met by counter-protesters and something. I guess you expect this sort of thing in the South, but I thought this is more of a Western phenomenon, like fire ants and, Well, in any way.
Bull weevils.
Yes. We'll talk to Ed McCarthy about bull weevils and the Minutemen. What else? We got the top five most irritating singers of all time. Top five most irritating singers of all time. And this is not in my estimation, by the way. This is based on the assembled votes of the Rick Emerson audience, especially those who went to my MySpace page. We posted this a day and a half ago or so, and people voted on it. So later on today, top five most irritating singers ever. Another installment of Rick Emerson's Enemy of the People news pile. Later on today, like us, the three world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. We're joined today, as are we always, by the... the lovely and talented and only occasionally vomitous, Sarah X. Dillon. How you feeling today?
I'm okay.
You know what would make your day go a lot better?
What?
Nice bowl of raw pork.
Rick.
Yeah.
That is not
with true. An egg on top. All right, so this is a few minutes. I'll tell you about the exciting phone call that I received from Sarah Dillon last night, which is one of those... Do you ever have one of those calls where you can actually hear someone... Like, during the call, they are physically fighting off the urge to vomit? Like, you can actually... If you listen, you can actually hear the sloshy sound of the bile rising in the back of their throat as they attempt to speak to you. So it is only through the greatest of efforts. She's playing through the pain. She's given 110% here today. And slowly sipping some room temperature Mountain Dew and trying not to hurl all over the broadcast equipment here.
Thank you, Rick, okay, for painting that beautiful picture of my life.
That's what I do. Looking sexier than ever. Because nothing makes a woman look more attractive than the realization that she just had yesterday's dinner in her mouth.
Oh.
At the City Desk, Tim Riley is working on the following stories for you. I'm just saying what we're all thinking. Oh. Here's Tim Riley.
I don't know what to say after that.
Really...
I can't wipe that from my mind. Northwest Landmark will be imploded. A motorist rams his SUV through a Tiger Bank and walks away wearing a smile. Tom and Katie visit the simple folk of a small Washington town. And Twisted Students force a homeless man to stand naked in front of the entire student body.
All right. By the way, Kristen from accounting has already weighed in on the Armenian situation, as we're calling it today. She says, I was not born in Armenia, but my mother was conceived in Armenia. Apparently in some low-budget family vacation. Her family was then forced to leave the country, so my mother was born in France. This is already too complex. I don't know what has to do with our work ethic, but the Armenians have been the punching bag for people over the course of their history. Consider your website woes a little Armenian payback. All right, there you go. In any event, hey, speaking of things, so this is me last night. So I'm at home, and the phone rings. Oh, now, let me determine this. When did you eat the sushi last night?
After work yesterday.
Which is what, about 3, 4, 5?
Yeah, like somewhere between 3 and 4.
Maybe it wasn't cooked enough.
I guess I... Thank you.
Yeah.
As somebody once said, there is something about eating food that's only unconscious.
I know. I'm just never going to do it again.
I don't understand why you would eat...
I'm not a big fan of sushi anyway.
Why would you eat... See, Laura and Clyde are always... Laura is always wanting to get... Let's go out to the dog.
No, and all
sushi.
My friends like it, so I'm trying to like it.
Peer pressure.
Get better friends. Quit running with such a fast fish-eating crowd. Because there's... I want to start a whole discussion about weird food right now. We'll do that later, maybe. I just don't understand the... If I tried to feed you something else that was raw, you wouldn't eat it. If I said, look, here's a big piece of raw goat. Why don't you choke it on down?
There's some pickled pig's feet.
No, the pieces are always too big, but you can't really tear them apart because they're wrapped together, and then it just flies everywhere.
I just don't understand.
It's just an awkward food to eat, and it's not a very good food, at least for me.
I don't understand the appeal of eating something, of eating a piece of meat, which fish is. I don't care what people try to tell you. Fish is meat. And I'm not a vegetarian. I'm a vegan. I'm an omnivorous American like most of us. I'm just saying I don't understand the appeal of eating something, a piece of meat that is raw, that hasn't been cooked, treated, washed, scrubbed. I guess they hose it off.
It began in California and people said it was cool. Therefore it is.
Yeah, but that's the same kind of mentality that gave us gazpacho. Which is, why would you eat that? What's this? Well, it's a room temperature soup that's all stringy.
I thought that was a cowboy from Chile. Well,
like
that's a gaucho.
No, gazpacho's like eating a big bowl of mucus.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Is that the description on the menu?
Seriously. Look, there's certain things are supposed to be at certain temperatures.
Good thing we're in the lunch hour.
Soup is supposed to, not anymore. Soup is supposed to be hot. Coffee is supposed to be hot. Other things are supposed to be cold. Some things are supposed to be cooked. Some things you can eat raw. You know what I mean? It's like if you were to go to somebody and say, here's the thing I don't understand about sushi is it's always paired with a vegetable that's supposed to be raw that they've cooked. Like the one time somebody, here, have some raw fish and some cooked carrots. What's the goddamn point of that? Doesn't make any sense.
Do you want a hug?
I'm just saying sushi is stupid. It's a stupid food, and a pox on all who eat it. And as proven, see, here's the proof. You ate the sushi, your body rejected it.
And I got the vomit.
And it was, and you, I don't want to use phrases like, you know, being rejected by both ends, but come on.
No, thank God it wasn't. I ate dim sum. Remember when I went to Chicago and I had that really bad bout of food poisoning? Yeah. That was bad.
I remember I called you from Christmas in San Francisco, and because Laura and I were at Christmas in San Francisco a couple years ago, and I called Sarah and I'm like, hey, Merry Christmas, I'm eating dim sum. And she's like, don't say dim sum.
Yeah, this one wasn't as bad. Like, I think I ate a whole lot of something I wasn't supposed to last time. This time, just out of one end.
So was it more of a churning? Or more of just a...
It was more of like
projectile kind of vomiting.
It was more of a churning. It wasn't really...
Yeah.
But it was for a while.
So this is the phone call I get last night. My phone rings at 11 o'clock, and when somebody... And you know how this is. There are certain times of day when certain people don't typically call you. And if the phone rings and it's them, you know it's bad news, right? Like, I don't typically... Unless it's somebody from work. Like, unless it's Tim, Sarah, engineer... I don't answer the phone after midnight. You know why? Bad news. Somebody's dead. If the phone rings after midnight, it's only two kinds of news. Someone in your family has died, or someone you know needs to be bailed out of jail. I don't care about either of those things. Not at midnight. I need to go to sleep. Whoever's in jail is still going to be in jail. Whoever's dead, still going to be dead. Doesn't matter. So the phone rings
That's what you think every time I call you, is that it's Nate calling saying that I'm dead.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
And it's not that you even care about whether or not I'm alive or dead. It's that you care about who's going to run the show tomorrow.
Well, what am I going to do? This is nothing.
Yeah.
Who's going to come and run this?
And that's why I have to ask you, when I'm delirious, Rick, if you love me.
What, am I going to get some DJ from the mix to come over and run this? I don't think so.
Smokey could come over.
Uh-huh. I think Smokey would prefer if I came on over. No, you know. I don't want to... No way.
I'm just saying.
No, my point is this. That whenever the phone rings at 11 a.m.
P.M.
Or 11 p.m., there's just no... why? What is the... Why and what... Why would I answer it, especially if it's you? Because I know that it's bad news, right? And so I answered last night. Hello? And I'm waiting for Nate to go, look, I didn't know the gun was loaded. You know? But of course, it's Sarah going, hello? Now, look, I think I can still make it to work, and that's what you want to hear. I think I can still make it to work. And so Sarah has that whole, like, so anyway,
is that when you're on TV, too, one of the biggest fears you have is, like, it's throwing up on live TV. And so, seriously.
What a great phrase that is.
No, and I started just being like, oh my God, I can't stop doing this. And what if I go to coin and I throw up?
Yeah.
And I built myself into a frenzy and I'm like, I just can't do it, you know?
Good times.
To the point.
All right. Well, and Eddie, we'll talk more about it later. It's 503-733-2970. We'll recreate the call. The best part of the call, by the way, the best part of Sarah's call last night was that, and you were all delirious and just all, the best part of the call is at the end when you wouldn't let me off the phone until I said that I loved you. You remember that?
Well, because every time I call you, I can sense the relief that I'm not dead, and I know it's not because you care about me, it's because there's somebody to push the buttons.
All right. 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley, your personal savior at the City Desk.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat.
Is this news getting louder?
Tim Riley, report. I think it's your headphones.
All right.
It sounds the same to me all the time.
Okay. I don't know what it is, man. Sometimes the news is real quiet, sometimes it's real loud.
It sounds the same to me every day.
You are insane.
I sound high. My hands are huge.
Well,
that's how you sounded last night. When I answered the phone, I'm like, 11:15, me. Oh, God. You know, did I answer the phone? Hello, Sarah. You just sort of, so I think I could come in tomorrow and it's, you know, sounds like some sort of pit of primordial ooze. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, without further ado, let's get to the big story of the day, the Britney one.
Here's your Britney watch for Wednesday.
Going strong.
Well, it all began last night when David Letterman had been bantering with bandleader Paul Schaefer and Hello Deli owner Rupert G. on what Spears, well, on whether Spears was pregnant. To the surprise of the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater, Spears made an unannounced yet prearranged visit to the set.
Man, we're all surprised.
Are we onto something here or not?
Don't worry, Dave, it's not yours.
Oh. Well, I think that's good news for both of us. So we've established now that you are, in fact, pregnant. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, there you go. See, Paul?
Who would... Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand this compulsion to applaud people for becoming pregnant. 9 out of the 10 people you know who are pregnant right now shouldn't be reproducing, and you know that it's true. I went, look, if you're pregnant, the odds are about 90% that you're going to be a bad parent. You probably shouldn't be pushing any children out of that thing. All right? It's just a fact, because most people are deeply stupid. Most people are incapable of raising a chia pet, much less a child.
I just feel bad for Britney Spears. She's in too deep now.
I don't feel bad for Britney Spears. I feel bad for Britney Spears' children. I feel bad for anybody. I feel bad for any girl named Britney, anybody with the last name of Spears, anybody who has to grow up in that hideous household with that stupid slack-jawed yokel of a husband of hers. I mean, Britney Spears has done better than any other. I mean, she has won just a white trash lotto on so many levels. By all rights, that girl ought to be working at a truck stop right now, dumping out, cigarette butts into a bag and saying, do you want, like, a doggy container to take your BLT home with your sugar? So, her and Ashley Simpson both. Ashley Simpson, who, through the luck of God and a creepy dad and a good plastic surgery, is probably going to have a decent career for the rest of her life. They both gone. That's called winning the lottery, is what that is, genetically and otherwise.
Meanwhile, how serious are Britney Spears' marital woes? So serious, according to one report, that she's met with her family and lawyer, but not husband Kevin, and the topic of divorce has come up. Brit's very unhappy, and I think she needs to find some peace, a source told Life and Style Weekly, whatever that is.
I'm sure the baby will keep them together, though.
Once the Spears family gets its game plan together, the idea is to spring a divorce on Kev without warning. Spears recognizes a problem.
It's on the radio right now. How without warning could it be? What, is he a deaf mute? Does he have no ears? Is he living in some sort of hermetically sealed bubble floating in geosynchronous orbit? It's on the friggin' radio.
She's thrown out all his liquor. She's not going to let him make her feel like she's a guest in her own home anymore. The rules include no smoking or drinking, since secondhand smoke is banned for kids. The two, however...
Not like letting them drive your car, you stupid hoe.
Mm. Oh, by the way, Federline wants to name the baby Julia after his mother, according to InTouch Weekly, but Britney would rather name the baby Lillian after her grandmother. She also likes the names Emily and Lola.
All right, whatever. That's the only question is, when the divorce eventually happens, well, whose side are we all going to come down on, Brittany or Kevin?
I don't know.
Sarah?
Oh, I'm going to come down on Brittany's.
All right. I just don't know. That's one
I'm
of those,
on the fence.
It's one of those things that you never really know until it happens. It's like the Brad and the Jennifer thing. We all came down on Jennifer Aniston's side.
I think Kevin Federline's just going to go away.
I don't know.
I don't think that he'll stay in power.
I don't know. Nick Lachey is going to be in the public eye a lot longer than Jessica Simpson. The only reason Jessica Simpson's going to be in the spotlight now is because she's Ashley Simpson's sister, and she's that girl who used to be married to Nick Lachey. That's a guy who's playing his cards right. I've read a lot of interviews with him lately. He is a guy who lucked into his 15 minutes, and he's just going to do that Mark McGrath thing and just hold on with both hands and just refuse. You will have to drag him kicking. And when is the last time anybody here saw Mark McGrath doing anything that had to do with music? Wait, but everybody still knows who he is. He's still on VH1 every 5 minutes.
And he's on that late interview show at night, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a news correspondent, I think.
Any news correspondent. Mark McGrath. The words news correspondent, Mark and McGrath in the same sentence.
Journalist.
Just boggles the mind. All right.
That's the Britney watch.
All right, he's whatever you Britney wants. There you go. The whole thing disgusts me.
Britney's mentor, Madonna, admits she sometimes thinks she's a crappy mom. It is a struggle to balance my career with my children, says the material girl. I'm always going, my God, am I a crappy mother or
my
what?
My God.
Lindsay Lohan is under stress. Her hair, that is, from too many dye jobs. Her hair has been put under a lot of stress, and now she's suffering the consequences of that. She's now in an intensive conditioning regimen.
Meanwhile, is this a real story?
Yes, it is.
Isn't there like a war and whatnot? Is this actual? I'm not blaming you for reading it. We're just pandering to the lowest common denominator. It's what we do here. But whose job is it to sit at a goddamn news desk and read stories about Lindsay Lohan's hair being under severe?
Better
Are
be
you
me.
Serious?
Absolutely.
Let me see. Where is it from? Let me see that.
This is from MSNBC.
It's from MSNBC! Ah, for the love of... all right. Hair is... She's under an intensive conditioning regimen. I don't even know what that means. What is it?
It's supposed to be healthy for one's
it's
hair.
It's not healthy. Look, here's a little secret from me to you.
Well, she'll find that out shortly, won't
let me just dispel a few myths here. When you use hair and skin moisture... First of all, there is no such word as moisturizer. It's a bastardization. There is no such word as moisturizer. It is a made-up 50s-era space-age word. Completely fictitious. Doesn't exist. The word, unpleasant as it might seem, moistener.
I don't
Most words
right.
with a Z in them are made up. All right?
Unless it's in Spanish. Yes. Those words aren't made up.
That's true. Quiznos, though, that's made up. There's no
that
real...
That could be somebody's name.
There is no... Well, probably now. Nah, never mind. Anyway, and I get sidetracked. My point is this. The people think, it's really going to bring your hair and your skin back. Your hair and your skin, dead. Your hair is dead. You know, do you realize that like 98% of what we see of each other every day, dead. Your skin is dead. You're not going to make anything dead look alive again. You are not Jesus. You're not going to be resurrecting it. Your hair, dead. That's all you're going to do with it. Nothing brings your hair back to life. Nothing makes it look more lifelike. No intensive conditioning. What is an intensive conditioning regimen, Sarah Dillon?
It's when you get not the conditioner that you just leave in for a couple minutes and rinse out. You can get a stronger formula. Or you can, like a leave-in conditioner, like a leave-in treatment.
All right.
This is yours. That's important to you.
Nah, this is all, it's a scam, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's a scam. This doesn't do anything. Hair conditioner does nothing.
Meanwhile, Steve Bott, the 400-pound man, who, over a year ago, set out to walk from California to New York, has finished. And he finished his walk at the Today Show.
I think it's good for everyone at some point to just sort of unplug and have some time to yourself and have some time for introspection. It's very rewarding. It's very therapeutic.
Hundreds of volunteer posse members will be out today looking for human smugglers in Arizona. The county sheriff there, whose name is Joe, says he'll be enforcing a new law that makes human smuggling a crime in Arizona.
We have been enforcing that law in the last several weeks, locked up 146 illegal immigration violators, and we're going to go out full force tonight to see if we can detect any illegal immigrants coming into the county.
You know, there's kids who grow up playing way too much, the assassination game. And so there's kids who play too much Axis and Allies. And so this is their thing now. They're dressing up in camel. Look, we all knew that guy in high school that just read nothing but military books and Tom Clancy novels and guns and ammo magazines. This is what happens when that guy, through some sort of weird statistical gerrymandering fluke, wins elected office somewhere. And he decides that the entire world is now his role-playing set. So.
Meanwhile, the sheriff says he's not worried about lawsuits aimed at stopping him from enforcing the human smuggling law.
They sue me all the time. You don't think I stopped doing my job, and I'm not going to stop now. In the meantime, while they're suing or whatever, I'm going to keep enforcing the law and arresting those people that violate the law.
What is it, Buford Pusser? Who is it that... What the hell is wrong with this country? The love of sweet Jesus. This email says, Rick, none of those other radio show hosts would ever say geosynchronous orbit. You are smart. It really isn't that we're smart. It's just that everyone else is so deeply freaking stupid. I mean, that really is good. Just that it is driven. The point is driven home deeper and deeper every day. Rick, you sound irritable as all hell today.
You really do.
I'm not irritable. I'm fine.
You've got to take it down a couple notches. I'm fighting off a bout of vomiting all night. Okay, you have a good.
See that? See, that makes me happy. No, this is why. I was saying earlier that I got this email that said, "What is a Smoky?" Smoky is one of two things. It's either a tiny little sausage comes in a can. That's a little Smoky. There's also a big Smoky, also known as a Red Hot Mama, that they sell in a jar of festering brine at the back of a bar, sometimes next to an egg or a bowl of salted nuts.
It's also a mountainous chain in North Carolina.
There's also that. It is also
a radio DJ.
It's also, I was going to say, it's also a thing that there was snow on top of in a song that you sang as a child. Something, something, something. How does that song even go?
On top of a
little Smoky.
Okay, what's the next line, smart guy?
Nobody knows. It's like the national anthem.
All I know is the one with
covered
the
in goo. Yeah, I only know the spaghetti version.
I know, me too.
That's a shame.
This is like that thing we didn't know the
all
national anthem.
With, all covered
with cheese.
No.
La 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 la.
All covered with snow.
But da da.
Ooh. Lost my true love.
When somebody sneezed.
When somebody sneezed.
That don't make any sense.
It sounds like we're sending...
Well, she had bird flu. Somebody said, what is a smoky? And I was pointing out, we was one of our colleagues, our compatriots here at CBS Radio, and I was mentioning him the other day. He was, because we're talking about something or other, about where I've worked, and I was mentioning that I was a country DJ for many years. And so we had this fantastic idea that one day we would just swap out all the stations and see if anybody noticed. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple audience tunes in. There I am, bam, playing that new Merle Haggard song. People tune in, bam, here he is making pithy, glib comments. That's the way. It is that kind of radio stunting that leads to massive listenership.
It sounds like we're sending pandas to the lowest common denominator again.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Should we break here?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. See? And so I would be over there talking up a Garth Brooks ramp. Here he is hitting the post on Ozzy Osbourne. It's fantastic. We'll do that next week. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's Rick at rickemerson.com. You stay right there. Coming up, CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. Also, Ed McCarthy on the way. Top five most irritating singers of all time. You stay right there. The Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy will talk about the Nutcase Minutemen embarrassing us all, making wish we lived somewhere else. It's true. I don't have to be journalistically objective. I know we got problems in this country. Idiots with pop guns and badly applied camouflage paint on their faces is not the answer. All right, what else? We'll do the top five most irritating lead singers of all time. Decided by you, the Rick Emerson audience. Another installment of Rick Emerson's Enemy of the People. Some watchers, the City Desk, all that stuff coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the city that never sleeps. The city of tomorrow. A city of industry, of lights, magic, the Ice Capades. From the five boroughs, located and ensconced in downtown Manhattan. That's how you hit a post. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten in New York. How are you, sir?
I'm terrific. Each day, it's a bigger buildup. One of these days, you're going to go over the top.
One of these days, I'm just going to have an embolism or an aneurysm.
Oh,
one of the two.
Amazing. Thank you.
What is that thing that Keith Richards had? It wasn't an aneurysm or an embolism. It was or they just drilled into his head, didn't they?
I don't remember.
Keith Richards, they just did something where they had to bolt him down and cut into his brain or something?
I don't know. I don't remember this. Really? I really don't. It must be Newsheimer's. I don't remember this.
It must be what?
Newsheimer's.
What is that?
It's Alzheimer's for news people.
I thought you were kicking some Yiddish or something on me, and I wasn't.
No, no.
I was going to be all verklempt and so forth.
Verklempt.
This is the Rick Emerson Show provides cultural texture, is what we
do.
Right. Hey, a couple things. First of all, it didn't even seem like it was 3 years ago, but has it been 3 years since this nightclub fire? When did this nightclub fire happen? Because I know that there was this testimony that just happened.
Right, 3 years. It's been, there were 100 people who died, and right now they're holding a hearing to determine what sentence to give the guy who set the fire. Oh, he didn't set the fire. He set off the pyrotechnics.
This is the great white. This is the great white thing.
Yeah,
it doesn't even seem like it was 3 years ago. But so, this was the guy, and the only reason I ask this is because we this is a sort of thought that goes through your head. I was actually just month and a half ago, I went to see some show, and it's one of those things where the guy on stage, like the drummer, clearly thought it would highlight the song if he just like set off like a big Roman candle or something like at the back. And these thoughts just go through your head that you wonder if anybody really pays attention to these lessons. But is this guy gonna go to prison? Is that what's looming ahead for him?
Right. Well, he pled guilty to 100 counts of involuntary manslaughter. Under the provisions of the plea, he could get up to 10 years in prison, and that's what the prosecution is asking for. The defense is saying, look, this is the only guy who has admitted any culpability. He wanted to step forward and do what was right. He actually wrote individual letters to each of the family members of each of the people who died, expressing his remorse for what occurred. And so he wants community service. So I don't think he's going to just get community service. I think there will be some time served, whether it's the full 10 years, we're going to hear in just a few moments. The judge has not yet ruled.
All right, it's just a bad scene. And then on the other end, from the, from the depressing to the ridiculous. So I saw this morning. Actually, there was a little blurb about this on CNN television. It doesn't even seem like this could be real. There's some high school. Is it true that there's high school where the kids are? It seems like there's only three shows that high schools can really ever perform. There's Grease, there's Guys and Dolls, and there's Oklahoma, and that's it. And they've now added Chicago in the Bronx. And is it like the Broadway producers like suing the school? Who sues high school students?
Yep. First of all, you're not allowed to take a show like that and put it on publicly without the permission of the producers. And in this case, the producers say they would not have given the permission because the Bronx, the high school, is within 75 miles of Broadway, where the show Chicago is still conducting its run. So they would have said no. And so they sent him a letter, a cease and desist letter, which really was pretty devastating to the school and to the kids, because they've been rehearsing for 4 months to get ready for this thing.
Well, and I know that, you know, high school in the Bronx is going to be some serious competition for Broadway. I know
exactly.
A lot of those.
Exactly. I mean, why they wouldn't support it. I mean, I think what they should be doing in a case like this is supporting the schools and, you know, even going out there and helping them and stuff. But instead, no, they decide, instead of going for good publicity, they decided to go for bad publicity, and it was all over the radio yesterday, to the point where they had to say, okay, we'll give you permission, even though it violates the licensing because you're so close to Broadway. And they gave them permission to put on one solitary show this weekend.
Okay, so here's the upshot of this, though. Here's why this story is fascinating to me, because we don't live in New York here, but this is why it's fascinating. So these kids at this Bronx high school, just a recap here. So they were going to do Chicago. The Broadway guys sent them this big thing saying, like, you can't, we'll sue you. This is the huge publicity problem. And so now these kids are this, and this is what it all comes down to. This is what it says here in the prep sheet. The kids who've been rehearsing for 4 months will now be allowed to perform the show one time.
What?
You know what this is? This is one of those inspirational films in the making, right here. It is some guy in Hollywood right now, Billy Elliot, Full Monty type guy, is right now creating the script for this. Because
probably.
It's totally going to be one of those lean on me, stand and deliver, the kids versus the man. They have one shot to pull it off, the kids that nobody thought could do it. You ought to be optioning the movie rights on this story right now.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I just don't understand why they didn't instead say, you know what, we're going to send people down there to help them with it, get some publicity, you know, but no. Instead, they do this. So I'm sure it's a wonderful production, and the one on Broadway. I've seen the film, and I've always wanted to see the Broadway show, but this really kind of sours you on it a little bit, you know?
Bunch of weasels. This world is filled with weasels, Gary.
Well, you know, and the other thing is, who knows who might be, you know, in a impoverished area of the Bronx, who is encouraged through this to fight their way out of that, and their name may end up on a marquee on Broadway someday. But no, instead, they sour kids on the whole idea of performing like this. I mean, I just don't understand. It's very counterproductive, I think.
I wash my hands of the whole business.
There you go.
All right, Gary, thank you so much. There you go. There's a CNN radio correspondent, Gary Baumgarten. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Just to recap, Ashley Simpson had a nose job, is now infinitely more attractive than her sister, who's got a weird saggy boob thing going on. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Over 1,000 people have been killed in Iraq over the past month. And Secretary of
State... Do we get a tote bag or something for that? Do we get, like, a coffee cup?
Well, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says this gives a new prime minister a wonderful opportunity to stop the violence.
This prime minister has the advantage of heading the first permanent government for Iraq. Every other government was there to do something else, to set up elections or to write a constitution. They now have the responsibility, this government, of governing for 4 years.
So are we just perma-temping the government over there? Is that what it is? Where it's like, look, you're going to be the government for like 30 days, and then you will handle the next phase. And there doesn't seem to be any...
What happens is the new democratic Iraq is a bunker that stretches for a few blocks. It has a big wall. You're fine. You're living in democracy unless you go outside, if you have to use the restroom or get something to eat.
This is sort of like people think New York is Manhattan, but Manhattan is really just this tiny, minuscule little... Yeah. It's like Vatican City, where it's like a square block.
Yeah, so you're safe inside the green zone. That is democratic Iraq. But once you go outside, and you have to sooner or later, you will be killed.
So really... Really, there is just like one house... There's like one office building somewhere. That's the actual government.
The biggest building now under construction and the only building that is on schedule construction-wise is the new gigantic U.S. Embassy. So Americans will be fine there. It's the rest of the country that's thrown to the dogs.
Make your vacation plans now, kids. All right, there you go. There's your Iraq news.
Oh, listen to this. Everyone loves implosions, don't we?
Yes.
For over three decades, the Trojan nuclear plant has been part of the landscape north of St. Helens. But in 12 days, it's coming down. The big cooling tower that sits across from the Columbia River from Kalama, Washington, was Oregon's only nuclear plant. PG operated for 17 years, and now it's going to be imploded at 7 a.m. May 21st.
Sarah's actually becoming sad.
That's my favorite landmark.
It's my favorite nuclear facility.
Have you been to the park near there?
I don't know. Can I see this, Ray?
You drive up Highway 30, and there's a...
I know this thing.
I love drive. That's my 40-minute mile mark.
I'm
heading up to Bremerton.
The thing just creeps me out.
See, that's what I love about it. It's hulking and scary, and you don't know... Yeah, what it's there for?
I think I had the triple whammy, actually, when I was a kid. Because, you know, I've talked about it. I grew up in the shadow of the Hanford nuclear facility, which is creepy. B, I was a kid when the Three Mile Island thing... See, you don't remember Three Mile Island, do you? All right. See, this
whole... I saw it on TV.
Yeah, this whole show is like... this show right here is America. This show right here, the Rick Emerson program. Because we've got Sarah at one end of our demographic spectrum, Tim at the other. I'm right in the middle. You know, right here on this program, we cover the entire broad scope of our audience.
What could be more American?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What was 3 Mile?
That's what I'm saying. See, so now Tim remembers it better than I do. I have vague memories. You don't remember it at all. 3 Mile Island was...
Well, that was an East Coast thing.
Correct me if I'm... You'll have to help me with this. 3 Mile Island was... It wasn't a meltdown.
No.
It was... What was it? But there was gas or something released? What was it? I don't even remember.
Jimmy Carter was president.
I'm getting it confused with Chernobyl in my head.
Right. It was just a little bit of radiation leakage.
A little bit. The public was in no danger.
And the funny thing was, they paraded Jimmy Carter out days later to walk around there to show America it was safe.
Yeah.
Even though they really weren't sure.
No, they had no idea. So, I remember seeing that. There used to be this feature on Saturday mornings on CBS called In the News.
And I remember that.
In the News was this great segment, and right now every Gen Xer is going, I remember In the News too. This program is suddenly more relatable. I will tell my friends. Mm-hmm. There was this feature on Saturday morning called In the News, and it was like a little pre-produced 90-second segment where they would explain current news stories to the level of children. It was pretty great, actually. Like, they would talk about, like, Lech Wałęsa in the news. And it's like they would talk about, like, the Polish Union movement. But they would explain it in a way that kids could understand. Or they would talk about, who is that guy? Klaus Barbie. And he was like, he was a Nazi war criminal they found, like, working at some furniture store in Detroit or whatever. And so they would do, like, Klaus Barbie in the news. Well, they did 3 Mile Island in the news. And it was a whole thing about accidental release of radiation, blah, blah, blah. Then, when I was about 12, I saw the China Syndrome. When that just sealed it for me. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm just terrified every time I see one of these things.
I didn't have my microphone on. So why are they imploding it? Is it danger? I don't think that's too bad, because I consider it a landmark, not an eyesore.
There won't be many places to watch it from, but you can catch footage on...
Coin News 6.
Coin News 6.
Naturally, this is from their website.
Wait, no,
it's not from the KGW website.
Bringing news home. So there you go. Northwest Landmark it says at the top, bringing news home. Northwest Landmark set to be imploded. See, and I had never really thought of it as a landmark, although I have seen it, but, that's interesting. It's like those big, there's weird landmarks like that all over the world. Like, maybe, you know, in San Diego, it's not a power plant. What is San Diego, those buildings that look like huge boobs? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember.
When you're driving from San Diego to L.A., mm-hmm. or from L.A. to San Diego, Kristen will probably know this. These two buildings, they were actually in the first Naked Gun film, where Frank Drebin is saying, everywhere I look, I see things that remind me of her. And then they cut to this picture of this. It's like a power plant, and it looks like two huge boobs.
I just remember the flaming oil wells driving down I-5.
Good times. All right.
Oh, we're so nostalgic, aren't we?
Well, no, we'll talk about this. We'll talk about this later. This is kind of interesting to me, actually. Here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
Tiger Bank is a mess after the driver of an SUV plowed through the building during our show yesterday. 39-year-old Peter Bibick drove his newer model Suburban through the Wells Fargo Bank at 11760 Southwest Hall Boulevard. After entering the building, he drove until his SUV came to rest against the far wall of the lobby. He was seen walking away from the scene with a big smile on his face. He was arrested a short time later.
Like he'd always wanted to drive into a bank.
Yeah, exactly.
What branch or what bank changes?
This is the Wells Fargo Bank.
Oh. That's where Scott Dowdy works, right?
Well, he works for that bank chain. I'm not sure if he works at that.
Yeah, I don't know if that specific one.
He could be dead for all we know. Well, did anybody die?
No. A couple of people get scratches and dents and whatnot.
Todd, the corpse bank's there. Maybe he'll give us some eyewitness news there.
This comes to us from Camas. The school district there wants to see if separating boys from girls would help improve grades. It's not getting to hang out with everybody. When you have a mix of class, you meet other people, says one of the students. While the idea is not popular with all students, administrators decided to give it a shot. Teacher said it would be easier for students to stay focused. They'll be separated. They'll have the opportunity to have more focused instruction, less distractions.
Okay, this is a plainly stupid idea. Everybody, you went to a school with no girls, right?
Absolutely. All the prep schools are.
But, I mean, it
gives the priests and brothers, you know, more opportunities.
Well, all that pent-up 14-year-old energy's got to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. He took my flower.
And then they're in danger with one of the graduates becomes a lawyer.
That's what's
happening with my prep school at the moment.
Then you're entering Lorenzo Carcaterra sleepers.
My
sister's
on the phone begging me. You must have some repressed memories somewhere. I've searched and searched and searched. I could not come up with anything. As a matter of fact,
you just weren't cute enough, Tim.
I had nuns.
Maybe if you'd worn like clingy clothing.
I had nuns, unfortunately.
All right.
Unfortunately.
I'm actually sort of.
You're sort of hurt that you didn't get molested.
I thought I was pretty. Oh, so pretty. Pretty and happy and gay. Or what is it? Pretty and happy. I feel pretty and happy.
I feel pretty and witty and gay.
No, it can't be gay because it ends with.
Don't forget the giddy word.
Because it ends with something. Giddy. No, because she has to rhyme it later with night.
I feel charming.
Pity any girl who isn't me tonight.
I feel charming. It was so charming. It's alarming how charming.
Strange program this has become today.
We were talking about Catholic prep schools.
Weren't we singing on top of old Smokey half an hour ago? Is this like that Buffy episode where suddenly...
I think something's leaking in through the vents.
The singing demon is making us all sing the program.
Oh, from season 6, that was my favorite episode.
I don't know where
we should do a musical episode of the Rick Emerson Show someday where we sing everything.
That's brilliant.
Today on a very special Rick. And then it's like, Tim, I have the news! From the top of the bottom of the coin tower, da 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 da, and then we all dance.
There definitely isn't any air circulation in this room.
That's a fantastic idea. It's genius.
Will there be auditions?
Here is your top five, and then I would do some sort of a Dixieland kind of a ragtime sort of about like that's a bunch of crap.
And can I see?
Things piss me off.
And I can see the romantic lesbian song like Willow.
Totally. I'm under your spell. I don't have that CD at home. I don't know the Buffy musical backward.
I have that CD.
I know the Buffy musical backward and forward.
I knew what season it was from. Okay.
Okay. Right about now, there's that conference room meeting going on. They're going, what kind of a show did we buy? What kind of people are these? Let's all stop here. Mm-hmm. Working our
this way... is why nobody's talking about Opie and Anthony.
Why? this show's giving them all a run for their money. Working our way back. My point is this, is that having an all-male classroom, it is true that having an all-male classroom, it just, I mean, when you're co-ed, and guys know this, you're co-ed, you're sitting there, you're sitting, you know, cranked up at 14-year-old, you really are distracted just by anything, just by a bra strap. Like, I will tell you this, and I don't mean to be creepy, because I know that Sarah gives me these looks sometimes, and she gives me the, you're entering the creepy zone. I'm not trying to be creepy, but I will say this. When I was in geometry class, as a young slip of a youth, no, there was this girl who I will not name.
Mm-hmm.
And every guy's like this. I don't think girls are the same way. Do girls in your head, like, do the thing that guys do where you've got, like, in your head, like, the cute 15, 16-year-old boy that you had a crush on that,
mm-hmm.
like, you never did anything with, but, like, in your memory, like, he's always there in the, like,
yeah, and it's really
file.
Weird because you don't know what he looks like now. And
well, and plus you think about it now and you're, like, 30 and he's still 14 and it's all kind of...
Isn't that what that classmates.com's about?
It's some... Yeah, but, I mean, that's for finding them now, but I'm talking about people you've never seen since
oh, I thought
then.
It was only pictures from the 70s.
And it's all kind of...
You never want to see
them. She married him? And it's all kind of creepy because it's, again, you're picturing them and, you know, and it's like some 14-year-old girl. You're now 30. And so you're like a 33-year-old man, theoretically, thinking back to some hot, like, 15-year-old girl who sat next to you.
Now
and
she looks like Roseanne.
See, but that's the thing. The key is to never find pictures of them now because in your memory they're still hot. My point is that in geometry class there was this girl who I will not name who, in retrospect, was really trashy. Big hair. You know, just like dressed just like just, it was all slatternly in her dress. But you know, I still kind of find that hot. But she had this thing that you girls do a lot now with the visible bra strap.
Well, because a lot of the tank tops go in closer to your neck than your bra straps
see,
do.
I'm not trying to cast aspersions on your fashion sense because you're all about knowing how to dress. But see, when I was a boy. Like, if you showed
the
your
girls
bra strap...
knew how to cover their bra strap.
I'm saying if you showed your bra strap, you were a whore. I mean... guys, you remember. Girls, you... Look, if...
It's 20, a different time, Rick.
It's a less innocent time. We've all become jaded. If it... I'm just saying, 20 years ago, some girl walked out in public, you could see her bra
yeah,
strap.
Have you seen how sixth grade girls dress these days?
She was got a big A on her forehead. And
it's all because of MySpace.
And rock and roll.
Don't you see, I mean, didn't they wear the mini skirts when you were younger, too?
Yes.
It's always
we had cars and everything.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, it was a different time, and so that sort of thing was not as accepted.
Okay, you're not a whore now, if you show your bra strap.
Okay, all I'm saying is, but then, though, it was uncommon. And so, but there was this girl who sat next to me, again, whose name I will not use.
Black bra straps.
Well, she had, I can picture her actually, and she had sort of it was like a pink sort of tank top, but the kind of the old school kind of tank top. But then, yeah, the bra, like a white bra strap, sort of like, and it was like not covered.
Okay, that's kind of trashy. Well, cause
yeah.
When you wear tank tops, like I always wear like a black bra or something, cause you know it's gonna show, you don't want to show it just because, hey, I'm wearing something that supports my breasts. It's
I'm
like,
unclear
hey,
about whether she was trying
color.
To show it, whether it was unintentional, whether it was like a look at my bra strap kind of a thing.
Well, if it's a big, thick white bra strap, that's pretty gross.
No, it wasn't gross at all. It was a glorious thing. It was the best of times.
Did it have padding for extra support?
Shh. Probably. She was a womanly girl even at that young age.
Yeah, this is creepy.
No, I'm not trying to be creepy. I'm trying to pay tribute to a special time in my life. No, but here's the other thing that was distracting. And you guys, wait, hold on, let's take a break. We'll talk about
this
after the break.
He remembers his grandma on the front porch with a butter churn.
Wait, hold on. Bra. All right, we come back. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to finish talking about this girl's bra.
We talk about bras way too much on this show.
Yeah, not nearly enough. Well, we come back. We're talking about bras some more. Then I'm going to talk about this nuclear place. Then we're going to talk about Sarah's therapist. Speaking of bras. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Live from Portland on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Back after this. Kids, don't go anywhere.